أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
With the grace of the Almighty Allah, today, with this Friday sermon, the Jalsa Salana, the annual convention of the Jamaat Ahmadiyya Germany, begins. With Allah's grace, each year the attendance at the Jalsa increases, and inshallah, it is hoped that this year this will be the case also. This should be the case, because the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has repeatedly drawn the attention of the Jamaat towards this, that all Ahmadis should participate in the Jalsas. So as the numbers in the community increase, there should correspondingly be greater numbers attending the Jalsa. Even if people have to undergo hardships and difficulties to attend the Jalsa, then they should do so. You people are fortunate that Allah the Almighty has given you opportunities to attend Jalsas, whereas in Pakistan there are restrictions placed upon holding such Jalsas. As a result, the Ahmadis there become agitated and restless. They think that if only these restrictions were lifted so we also could hold such Jalsas, and endeavor to fulfill those objectives which the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, outlined for the Jalsas. That we also can receive those prayers that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, made for the participants of the Jalsas. There are some guests, both men and women, who have come here from Pakistan and who have met me. They are sobbing and crying and overcome with grief at times when they express how they are deprived of the blessings of the Jalsas. They request prayers that they can also receive such blessings. So, as I always say, if the Ahmadis of Pakistan wish to rapidly be delivered from these difficulties and hardships, then they need to submit and prostrate to God the Almighty in prayer to a greater degree than before. May Allah the Almighty quickly bring about His blessings and provisions. May He give deliverance from the cruelty and injustices of the oppressors and of the opponents. All of this will only be achieved through prayer. There is no other weapon to acquire this. In any case, I was saying to you that blessed are those who are living here, that Allah the Almighty has provided these means and provisions for you to hold and organize Jalsas. You are unable to hold all forms of ijtimaats or gatherings. There are ijlasats or meetings or conventions at every level that you are able to organize. So you should be grateful to Allah the Almighty for all of this. True gratitude would entail that you benefit to the full and maximum extent from the program of the Jalsa, both during the days of the Jalsa and after the Jalsa when you return. You should make an effort to incorporate the righteous and pious points of discussion that you would have heard at the Jalsa as part and parcel of your lives. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has attached the purpose of Jalsa with patient steadfastness, acquiring the religion, and to prefer only the religion. This means that every person who participates in a Jalsa should come with the intention that even if he has to endure some difficulties, hardships, then he should do so. He will not display any impatience whatsoever regarding any mistreatment he perceives to have faced. First of all, the people who carry out their duties here with the grace of the Almighty Allah make every effort to fulfill their duties. Those who are lacking in their responsibilities, I will once again remind them that with patience, with tolerance, and for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, fulfill your responsibilities. Along with this, I will also say to the attendees of the Jalsa that your sole purpose for coming to the Jalsa should be to learn about your religion. And it is to provide for your spiritual progress in this atmosphere. Further, it is to involve your children and progeny in this spiritual advancement. We should always feel this anguish and heartfelt pain of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, when he said, "I say again and again that purify your eyes, illuminate them with spirituality, illuminate them with spirituality, just as they are illuminated physically and externally." The promised Messiah goes on to say, "A man can be said to see or perceive when his external observation, that is to say, he is enabled to distinguish between good and bad, and thereafter he inclines towards virtue." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, "Only those will gain salvation who become disinclined, devoid, and purify their hearts of worldly and materialistic passions." Then the promised Messiah says, "Until the heart does not prostrate in humility, to rely merely on physical prostrations is a futile endeavor. Just as the flesh of the sacrificed animal does not reach to God, rather it is righteousness and the fear of God which reaches him. Similarly, the physical ruku and sujood are worthless until one's heart does the ruku, sujood and qiyam." The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, "The qiyam of the heart, that is the standing position of the heart, is to remain firmly established upon divine commands. Ruku means to incline towards him, and sujood, the prostration, is to completely relinquish and give everything up for the sake of Allah the Almighty." The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, also prayed that may Allah the Almighty purify the hearts of my Jamaat. May He extend His hand of mercy and incline their hearts towards Him. So thus these are the heartfelt emotions, this is the pain and anguish, and these are the prayers of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, for our practical reformation. The objective of these jalsas is this practical reformation. Allah the Almighty has given us this opportunity to assess the standard of our practical reformation during these 3 days and to give attention towards it. We will establish these standards when we make efforts with great concern. Every sentence and every word of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam are filled with emotion and move our hearts and shake us to the core. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, "Illuminate your spiritual eye in the way that your physical eyes are illuminated." Even little pain to our eyes causes us great worry and concern, and we immediately visit the doctor. Dimness or haziness of the eyes to even the smallest degree perturbs us, and we are ready to bear all forms of trouble for this. We try to protect our eyes from all such things which can harm our eyes. Do we make equal efforts in order to illuminate our spiritual eyes and to keep it healthy? If we are giving due heed during these 3 days, then afterwards we indulge in such things which adversely affects our spirituality. So the light of the spiritual eye is not limited to 3 days. Indeed, these 3 days are a means of remedy to maintain the light of the spiritual eye. If after this remedy one is careless, then the light of the spiritual eye will be harmed. This is why the promised Messiah on whom be peace said, "The one who truly sees and perceives is he who distinguishes between good and bad, and once he is able to identify this, he inclines towards virtue. He should then perform those righteous deeds that Allah the Almighty has commanded us to, where on the one hand this includes worship of Allah the Almighty, there it also includes fulfilling the right of God's creation. I will give the example of one of these rights. As a result of not discharging this right, worry and concern is spreading within the Jamaat. The complete lack of fulfilling this right has not only caused restlessness in the households, but in fact, many girls who get married and then come here from Pakistan or from other countries. They, due to being far away from their homes, have embroiled them in great difficulties and suffering. Their parents are living in Pakistan and are extremely worried and greatly restless. Although these injustices are also being carried out by some of the boys, or perhaps the girl or the girl's parents are carrying out these injustices, the parents play a greater part in these injustices. But men, as a result of being men, even do then try to inflict harm and suffering, even if it is through pain. He is able to get by this difficult time. However, a woman is hurt and pained even by those who look at her and judge her from society. Then, as I said, the parents who are living far away are separately worried. So therefore, such people who purposely and without any reason, purely because of their selfish egos, carry out such misdeeds, whoever this may be, should fear God the Almighty. At times, even office holders do not fear God. They wrongly take sides and thus become embroiled in this injustice. So thus, one should fear God, and each and every person should make efforts to save themselves from spiritual ailments. The promised Messiah on whom be peace said, "Only those will gain salvation who become completely disinclined, free, and purified of heart of worldly passions and materialistic desires. So thus we need to ponder and reflect on these heartfelt sentiments. Are our hearts full of antipathy and aversion towards worldly passions? Or have worldly desires and materialistic passions overpowered and dominated us? Can we truly say that we are saving ourselves from all types of vices? Whether someone really knows the actions we perform, whether someone truly knows what we do, are we considering God the Almighty as omnipresent? And are we making an effort to save ourselves from all types of vices and desisting from harming and causing pain to others, and in the sight of Allah the Almighty, making ourselves as free of blame? Do we have pure and clean hearts in fulfilling the rights due to God and His creation? Or at the very least, are we making the maximum efforts in order to keep our hearts pure and clean in this regard? Along with these efforts, are we praying to God the Almighty? If the answer is no, then our state is one of grave concern. Do we perform sajda, the prostrations of humility and humbleness? The sajda of humility, the prostration of humility, is when one utilizes all his capacities and abilities to follow the divine commands to acquire the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Which in the sight of Allah the Almighty is worthy of acceptance. Allah the Almighty has described those prostrations which are merely physical or apparent by saying فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ, that so woe to those who pray. God forbid that any amongst us incurs the anger of God the Almighty and is ruined and destroyed. However, Allah the Almighty is without any need whatsoever. We always need to fear God. So as the promised Messiah on whom be peace has said, we need to adopt those qiyam, ruku and sujood which are pleasing to God the Almighty, to set the examples of which the promised Messiah alayhi salam's advent occurred. The promised Messiah alayhi salam also explained what qiyam, sajda and ruku actually are and how they can be properly performed. He said the qiyam of the heart, the standing position of the heart, is to follow the divine commands. The heart will stand when one remains established upon God's commandments. What are God's commands? They are the commands that are mentioned in the Holy Quran. To be established means to remain so steadfast upon them that one never stumbles. You should not stumble, and nor should you ever become far removed from them. You should never leave its support. You should never look at them with disregard, and nor should you minimize their importance. The ruku of the heart is that you should submit to God in every single matter. No worldly means, no worldly resources should ever develop the thought in your heart that through them your problems can be resolved. What is the sajda, the prostration of the heart? The promised Messiah says, the sajda of the heart is to relinquish yourself completely. For the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, you should sacrifice everything. You should sacrifice your passions and emotions. You should sacrifice your relatives and close ones. You should sacrifice your relationships. You should sacrifice your ego. You should sacrifice your honor, including your false honor and false ego. This means those things which you consider as honorable, are actually taking you away from God the Almighty. So you would have to sacrifice that false sense of honor. If you want to show honor, then it should be honor for the faith and religion. If anyone tries to act contrary to the divine commands, it is in such a circumstance where you should show your honor. So as such, every single one of our deeds should be as such. Or, we should make an effort to perform every such deed which purify and cleanse our hearts. The promised Messiah on whom we peace says, I desire from my Jamaat and I expect and hope from them that Allah the Almighty will extend His hand of mercy and He will produce and develop this condition in the members of the Jamaat. The promised Messiah on whom we peace says, those who do not make an effort to develop this condition have no connection with me. May Allah the Almighty not let it happen that any from among us be counted amongst those who break off their connection with the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Rather, may every single one of us be ever engaged in finding ways to continuously strengthen our relationship with the promised Messiah on whom be peace. So thus, as I have said earlier, those who come to attend the Jalsa should assess themselves during these days. To what degree are you making an effort to achieve those standards which the promised Messiah on whom be peace expected of us? Allah the Almighty has provided you with this atmosphere here, where you are able to practically demonstrate and implement Haqooq Allah, the rights due to Allah, and Haqooq al-Ibad, the rights due to mankind. So then you should make an effort to make this practical demonstration a part of your everyday life. Inshallah, Ramadan begins at the end of this month, which is a month of practical moral spiritual training. If you make an effort to connect these blessings with the blessings of Ramadan, then a spiritual revolution can be born within us. If you have not come to the Jalsa with this intention in mind, or if these days do not prove to be days of change and reformation, or you do not make the required efforts to do so, then there is no difference in whether you come for the Jalsa or not. Indeed, this can prove to be a means of harm. A certain gathering can prove to be the means of stumbling. Hadrat Khalif Tumasid II, may Allah be pleased with him, would relate an account of the time of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. One person, due to his misfortune, did not benefit in any way from the company of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. On the contrary, he wasted his faith and left. His selfish ego and a demonstration of false piety proved to be a stumbling block for him. The account went as follows. When the promised Messiah on whom be peace would come to the mosque, people would try their utmost to come as near as possible to him, to listen to him and benefit from what he says, and to cater and try to increase the spiritual satisfaction and contentment. In one such meeting or gathering, a person came and began to offer his sunnat prayers on one side of the mosque, or in fact right in the middle of the mosque. He started offering such long sunnat prayers that the people who desired to come near to the promised Messiah alayhi salam and gather around him started becoming anxious and fretful. Ultimately, some of those who were coming from the other side started advancing forward and coming near, and those behind also took the courage to start coming forward. So as some of the people were rapidly coming forward, one of the people's elbow hit the person who was performing his sunnah prayer, upon which he said, "What a good prophet and promised Messiah this is, that the people of his gathering hit and strike those who are offering their prayers." He was extremely outraged, left Ahmadiyyat, and left from there. This was his misfortune. The gathering that was strengthening people's faith, that was proving to be a means of increasing people's conviction, became the reason for the other person to stumble. So his action proved that his ruku and sujood were merely for show and pretense. There was a gathering of the chosen one of Allah, where fresh spiritual fruits and spiritual treasures are descending and are being distributed. So this person removed himself from this gathering and instead began to show how he was offering his prayers. This action made him lose his faith. So thus, although today there is no direct gathering of the promised Messiah and whom be peace, however, in light of his teachings, the exact same things are being said. Commentaries of the Holy Quran are expounded. In light of the blessed example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inculcation is given towards spiritual and moral training, and specific programs are formed. There are prayers and tahajjud, and all of these things are offered on time. Everyone should participate in the programs according to their allotted times and make an effort to benefit from them. If you miss your prayers for any reason, you should go to one side and offer them. This is so that neither the prayers that you missed should be adversely affected, and nor should the people who are sitting be troubled in any way, and can listen to the proceedings of the Jalsa without any discomfort. Remember, Amal Salih, a righteous deed, is an action which is performed appropriate to the situation and occasion. An action which is performed at the wrong time and inappropriate to the circumstance can actually become a means of one's stumbling. If that person had shortened this prayer and sat in the gathering of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, that action would have been the good deed. He would have avoided losing his faith. We also learn the lesson from this, that patience and tolerance save a person from losing his faith. During these days, if even you are meted, justified discomfort, and here it is not just the question of an elbow hitting you, even if it is any major discomfort, you should always display patience and tolerance. You should constantly give attention towards achieving that pious objective for which you have come here. Sometimes during Jalsa, due to displaying a lack of patience and tolerance, some people act in a harsh way to one another, and this boils over to the extent that they begin to fight with one another. As a result, when this comes to light, disciplinary action is taken against those who quarrel, which sometimes causes them to stumble even further, because their ego dominates them, and their faith is also lost. So as I said, this jalsa, rather than being a source of blessings, in such instances becomes a means of removing one from Allah the Almighty, and becomes something damaging. It becomes the means of one losing their faith. However, if one displays patience and steadfastness, and if one always keeps in view the true purpose of the jalsa, then not only will one individually increase in their faith, But in fact, that person can become the means of increasing many people's faith and helping to guide them. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, now in the world of Ahmadiyyat, jalsas are held everywhere. In scores of countries, jalsas are held in the major jamaats. The followers of the promised Messiah, in whom be peace, who hailed from different nations and tribes. Guidance is being spread all over the world, and as a result, it is making people submit and incline towards Allah the Almighty, and also us. If any misfortunate person loses his faith, then instead hundreds of fortunate people are those who come to have faith. We find examples of this in the time of the promised Messiah, in whom be peace, and also today. At this time, I shall present an example. Those people who became the means of guidance, who are thousands of miles away, but they are strengthening and increasing in their faith. The majority of them have perhaps never seen the Khalifa of the time in person, and even those who have, it may have been 25 or 30 years since they did. The manner in which these people are becoming the means of guidance and strengthening in their faith is truly astonishing. This is an account from Sierra Leone. One of the missionaries of the Port Loko region there writes that the chief imam of the Cafe Chiefdom and the deputy chief imam, Sheikh Adam, were fierce opponents of the Jamaat. Our local mu'allim, Sheikh Ibrahim Ture Sahib, would discuss various Jamaat issues and subjects with them. The Jamaat Ahmadiyya Sierra Leone was approaching. It was said to the Mu'allim to invite the Chief Mu'allim and Deputy Chief Mu'allim as guests to the Jalsa Salana. The Chief Imam rejected the invitation. However, the Deputy Chief Imam, Sheikh Adam, accepted. He then came to the Jalsa. The Jalsa is held in Bo there. The Deputy Chief Imam, Sheikh Adam, says that for what purpose do these people spend so much money to gather here? However, on the very first day of the Jalsa Salana, I observed how the people gathered in great numbers to offer the Tahajjud prayers. In the Tahajjud prayers, I heard them reciting the Holy Quran and saw them weeping and crying whilst praying, submitting to God Almighty, which caused my heart to melt and reflected that these signs and for the people to be so engrossed in the prayers demonstrates that these are truthful people. This is a Jamaat of truthful people. Worldly and false communities do not have people who act in this manner. Then the Muballigh missionary Sahib says that I asked him after the first session of the Jalsa Salana, how did you find the Jalsa and what do you feel? To which he responded, I am extremely impressed by the members of the community and Jamaat traditions, and I have become an Ahmadi. All my reservations have been removed. He returned and began to preach in his region, saying that the true Islam is only that which the Ahmadi Muslim community acts upon and spreads. His imam was enraged with him and dismissed him. Then he says that now that I have joined the Jamaat, I will leave everything for it. I will only support the truth. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, through him, many people have become Ahmadis in this area. So the Jalsa caused one person to become an Ahmadi, and consequently, hundreds of people were unable to become Ahmadis and to accept the Imam of the time. Now, Sheikh Adim Sahib, because he became an Ahmadi as a result of the Jalsa, he has even put along with his name, Sheikh Adam Jalsa Salana. This is what he has put with his name. So the Jalsas create many Adams. Allah the Almighty brings about the transformation in this state, and he is producing a new heaven and earth. So we should also be concerned. We, the majority of whom are born Ahmadis, we should improve and reform our state. Now many asylum seekers have come here. They should not perceive that they have come here for worldly reasons to gain profit and gain. If they have come here as a result of opposition to the Jamaat in Pakistan, then here they should be ambassadors of the Jamaat and play their respective roles. They should demonstrate through their actions the true teachings of the Jamaat. Instead of becoming embroiled in worldliness, indeed they may earn a living, but instead of being drowned by materialism, they should also give attention towards their spirituality. Nonetheless, these are the blessings of the Jalsa which are manifesting all over the world. Now in the world of Ahmadiyyat, there is a race to excel in virtues and goodness. So you people also should make every effort to not be left behind in this race. There was a time when this competition was between cities, but now this competition is between countries. Only those will gain nearness to Allah the Almighty who come to understand the pain and heartfelt anguish of the chosen one of Allah the Almighty and who make every effort to bring about reformation in this state. Here I would like to say a few words to the workers, in particular those workers who are entrusted with the responsibility of hospitality. I would like to say some things to them. Remember that when the promised Messiah alayhi salam was given the revelation of Vasimakanaka to expand the house and accommodation, it was for the reason that guests who were visiting him already in very large numbers, and the hospitality of which the promised Messiah alayhi salam would extend in accordance with each person's requirements, that would go on increasing. This revelation was given to him in the early period after his claim, and he was given it repeatedly, and it kept on being revealed to him until the end in different shapes and forms. So this message of Vas-e-Makanaka is also for his followers. It is also for those who worked alongside the promised Messiah on whom be peace at the time. It meant that this expansion that will be of the house and the accommodation will also be the means of increasing hospitality. Now here in Germany there is increase and expansion in terms of the new mosques and mission houses that are being built. So this will also mean there will be an increase in the hospitality. So Allah the Almighty has said that you who are the workers, you who are the followers of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, should never tire. The promised Messiah alayhi salam had already an extremely large heart. Allah the Almighty said to the promised Messiah alayhi salam that never tire or worry for the large number of guests that will come. These are my own words, but it is the essence of what the promised Messiah alayhi salam said. So naturally, this was for the promised Messiah alayhi salam, but it was also for the workers who are entrusted with the responsibility of hospitality. Those workers of the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and also those after. These are opportunities to gain blessings. So people who serve in this capacity, in order to fulfill the command of Allah the Almighty of Vas-e-Makanaka to expand their house and accommodation, would have to open their hearts further for the hospitality of guests. The Langar Khana was one of the important tasks amongst the tasks entrusted to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Today also, people specially come wherever the Khalifa of the time is present. And they do so for the reason to become near to the Khalifa, to spend some days close to him. So thus, during days, guests should be especially taken care of. Not just in the Jalsa, but in normal days also. The Holy Quran has told us about Hazrat Ibrahim's hospitality and informed us that for hospitality, do not think whether you should or should not do hospitality, and do not hesitate for any expenditure in terms of hospitality. You should always be mindful of the guest's comfort. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also especially inculcated towards hospitality. His face would light up with joy and delight when he would come to learn that on that day in Medina, his companions living there had taken care of the comfort of the guests who had come from outside, and had so greatly taken care of their hospitality that it was beyond their capacity. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, his examples are also before us. When guests had left, angry at the workers of the Langarkhana, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, rushed behind them for a far distance. He brought them back. Then he started removing their luggage from the carriage himself, so the workers immediately advanced forward and took the luggage. All of this was because where on the one hand he would establish the highest levels of hospitality, there he also wanted to teach his followers. All of these things are not only for us to read, study, and take delight and joy from, but they are all there for us to actually, practically act upon. As I have said, Allah the Almighty, even before the establishment of the Jamaat, gave him the revelation of Vassi Makanaka, and informed him that more and more people would come to visit him. Then again, this same revelation was given to him, and until the end, he was repeatedly given this revelation. Even in 1907, he was given this. It was so that the Jamaat after him would come to understand the significance and importance of this. So, I would like to also draw the attention of the administration here to understand the importance of hospitality. But one is the hospitality that is extended during the days of Jalsa, to prepare food for the 30 or just over 30,000 people, and to feed and serve them. This is why only one type of food is prepared at one time, and pita bread is given with it. Indeed, this should be taken care of, that where on the one hand food should reach every single person, and enough food should be given to each person in accordance with their need, and food should be given respectfully to them. There, on the other hand, you should also be mindful that it should not be wastage. Avoiding wastage of food does not mean that in this heat, you should use the surplus of food at one time to feed people at a second time and make them ill. Secondly, is the hospitality extended during ordinary and normal days, as I have said. For the hospitality during these normal days, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, would take care of every requirement of their guests in accordance with their temperament and need. So the relevant administration need to give heed towards this. By giving food to anyone, you have not fulfilled the right of hospitality. Indeed, you cannot fully discharge the right of hospitality to guests. Many guests who are not Ahmadis attend our functions. Our hospitality on them in different places in the world greatly impresses them, which they often remark on. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Germany Jamaat is making many mosques. In the mosque functions, external guests attend. Hospitality is thus arranged for them. Often, tea is arranged for them. And so far as this is concerned, it is satisfactory. The arrangements are quite good. However, in my view, the arrangements for seating are unsatisfactory. It is said that the people here are used to sitting on benches, and this is why wooden benches are arranged. And thus we make very respected dignitaries sit on them. Even if they are used to it, our standards of hospitality should be better and should increase. If they are used to it, then you here should demonstrate exactly this. And instead of the seats that are placed there, you should have put benches. There is one standard for yourself and another standard for the guests. You should not infer from this that in the following year you should remove the seats and place benches here. All I mean to say is that over there the standards should be better. Here seats should remain. The officer Sahib Jalsa Salana will immediately try to reduce his budget. Thank you. in a respectful and dignified manner. In a respectful and dignified manner, there should be arrangements for seating the guests in any case. Our manner of hospitality, which are of the greatest standards, should be clearly visible and which we have been taught regarding. I mentioned the tea and the light refreshments that are given. So far as this is concerned, it is satisfactory. However, even in this, it should be taken care. There is echo in the sound, it should be corrected. So you should be mindful in terms of what people prefer. If it is a function where dinner is arranged and external guests are called, then in accordance with the temperament and requirement, food should be arranged. The food should be more bland and have less spices, and should be food which they prefer. Even halal and tayyib, lawful and permissible food, can be made in accordance with their preferences. Just recently, it was the inauguration of the mosque in Munich. There were members of parliament, and seated with me was a district governor and the mayor and also other people. The food that was arranged for some of them was relatively better, but generally speaking, there were large numbers of German people in attendance, approximately 250 to 300. It was a good attendance, and they were dignitaries and respectful people. The food that I could see was completely unsatisfactory. Some people perhaps did not even take that food. If there is a function in which dignitaries are invited and people also attend because the Khalifa of the time is present, so you should at least fulfill the right of their hospitality. If the local Jamaat cannot cover the expenditure, then the national center has the responsibility to arrange for the hospitality. The function was excellent and there were large numbers of people, the location was good and the hall was suitable. I will give the details at a later time. However, there is a need to give attention towards this shortcoming because otherwise it will become ingrained as a habit. Then also remember that the guests who particularly come in these days when I am present here. So, as I have said, brilliant hospitality is a duty for you to extend to them. This is the responsibility of the permanent Ziyafa team to extend this hospitality. And wherever it goes, there it is the responsibility of the local people. And without uttering any complaint or boasting about it, you should extend the hospitality, saying that the guests are becoming burdensome. You should make every effort to avoid any element of distress being caused to any guest. Allah the Almighty has even said about those who give sadaqah and then speak about this act as displeasing to Him. It is better to say a good word than to help somebody and then speak about your good act, or to say such things which can distress him. Hospitality is indeed the right of a guest. To extend hospitality and then to say something about it is an extremely contemptible and despicable act. There are some people who do act in this way, and they go to the extent that the people who have come with me, they even say such things which can cause emotional distress. For the time being, I am only admonishing by way of indication. If the time requires, then I will openly say this. But may Allah Almighty not let this happen, that this is required. And may those who are responsible come to their senses. Nonetheless, I hope and I expect that the relevant persons and people should understand their mistake and say istighfar, seek forgiveness for their sins. May Allah the Almighty give wisdom and understanding to all the workers. And may they discharge their responsibilities in accordance with the divine teachings. With reference to Jalsa, also remember that every single one among you needs to remain vigilant upon your surroundings. every participant of the Jalsa should fully cooperate and comply with all the duty workers. There are security issues all around, so therefore there is a need to remain ever vigilant. May Allah the Almighty enable this Jalsa to be successful in every respect. May He enable the participants to accumulate all those blessings that are attached with this Jalsa. May we fulfill the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. And may we come to make a part and parcel of our lives those expectations that the promised Messiah on whom be peace had with us. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do this.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله